Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay. Oh, man. Here we go. It's Red Sox review. We're going to review that.
Music is so much more exciting than what we're about to talk about.
I need, like, sad piano. Oh, gosh. All right. Hello. It's Red Sox Review. Thanks for being with us. Cooper Boardman with you. That's Zach Coe, the great Zach Coe, inside the glass. Red Sox lose. You might have known that already. If you didn't, you figured it out very quickly. Congratulations. 8-3 is the final tonight in what is the latest in, performances that just have not felt like there's been much life to it. 2 tonight, early. 8 of the final 9 runs belong to Tampa Bay. They get 4 in the 5th. They get 3 in the 8th. They bust the game wide open. The Red Sox with a meager 3 hits, 2 home runs, and 1 other knock from Willy Abreu and a 5-run loss. And 75-76 is the record. 75-76. This team that was 8, 9, 10, 11 games over 500 is now a game below 500. And it feels about right, honestly. All right, Red Sox review. Nope, not great, not great, not great. There's a drop. We were considering cutting to of Joe Castiglione, who said "ouch" earlier today. We might get on that. Not great, not great. 617-779-7937 617-779-7937 Text line at 37937. I see the calls will pop in just a second here. But man, I am really thinking about June 11th right now. You know, this team goes down to 75-76 after the loss tonight. They are below 500 after this game here tonight for the first time since June 11th. And that was the loss to the Phillies in that series that seemed to turn the season around. They lose that game to the Phillies. Zach Wheeler won that game against Cutter Crawford. They turn around, they rip off the rest of those games against the Philadelphia Phillies. Remember, after just a horrific month of May in which they could not score, they go to New York, they take 2 out of 3. They go to Toronto, or the Yankees came in, they take 2 out of 3. They go to Toronto. Toronto, they win 3 there, and all of a sudden it was kind of boom, off to the races. And it is just extraordinary to me thinking about what that felt like, those 5 days, versus how the last 3, 4, 5 weeks have felt, Zacho. And I don't feel like this team deserves what's happening to it right now necessarily, but I might be wrong. You know, like, I might just be the idiot here, honestly. Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, though, you have to hit the ball and you have to put up runs, and the offense just isn't doing that nearly enough right now. Like, they had that outlier game against Baltimore last week, but other than that, the offense has been inept pretty much.
Yeah, for a very, very, very long period of time. We'll dig into all that, but we got calls. Let's get right to you here. 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 337-937. Welcome to the place to air your grievances. And we will begin with our friend Carl in Westfield. Carl, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Yes, yes. Cooper Gordon, man, I never call after devastating losses. However, as the fat lady singing, your super producer, Zach, via Paul in Westfield to Cooper Boardman. The triangle of thought is we did perform much better than anticipated. A September and a season to remember. Thanks. Durant got the most doubles faster than everyone except Ted Williams. Hmm. We saw a young team develop into nobodies to somebodies. Clearly Durant looked wobbly. I heard Joe say that. I didn't see the game, so he's taken out of the game. Devers is still hurt. You know, tonight, Pavetta, as you mentioned, held it down for most of the game except for the home run and then a couple runs. And then the relief pitching comes out and, you know, takes a dump. And our offense is just tired, you know. It's been a wild season. And to think, I did tell you guys last year, if Chris Sale goes to Atlanta and is healthy, my head's going to explode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, lo and behold, Another first. We paid him, and he might win the Cy Young. This has been the wildest season of the most sickening, shocking losses. And then the Austin 316, we did open up a can of whoop-ass and run double-digit runs. It's been a rough season. It's been a wild one to remember. We've seen and learned a lot. And again, Cora, with the pinch hit record, imagine what he's going to do when this team matures. If they stay together and stay healthy, that's what I'm thinking. I'm kind of happy with the way they held it down and didn't completely poop themselves, you know?
Yeah, and you know what, Carl? I appreciate the ray of positivity here. Thank you for the call. You know, I don't disagree with your sentiment there, right? I don't disagree with the idea that there is a future here that has been built. I don't disagree with the idea of Duran and Abreu, and I do believe in Casas. You know, it's just, there just wasn't enough. And we can dig into so many reasons why we have over and over again, but, there is just honestly, like, as I sat there and watched this game, and I'm sure you felt this way too, like there's a little bit of emptiness watching this team right now. Yeah. There's just not, you just kind of know what it's going to be like. And man, it's just frustrating. It hurts. 75 and 76.
Not great.
Not great. Not great at all. All right. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Matt. Matt in Manchester, New Hampshire. You are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm actually a little opposite of the last caller.
Sure. That's okay.
I was calling, so I honestly think that they're going to finish dead last again. Maybe 2-1 more wins the rest of the year. I just think that the whole team's just down and out. Even Duran, like, there's nothing there. I'm curious. Obviously, they're not going to fire him over the offseason, but say we get into May of next year, and they're 8 or 9 games back already. Is there a chance that Cora's out by then?
You know,
and I believe me, I love Cora.
Yeah.
I just feel like I don't think that John Farrell was a good manager either, but he won that first year, and then they kept him way too long, and you just have a bad taste when you think of John Farrell as the Red Sox manager. Yeah. I feel like it's going that way with Alex Cora. And then one last thing I want to add. When was the last time the Red Sox had a relief pitcher who could throw 99 to 100? Because it's like, you, even if you're off at 99 to 100, no one's hitting the ball hard off of you. Like, I know it's lefty-lefty, but some sense of urgency. I know the playoffs are far off, 4 games out, whatever. But bringing Bailey Horn, like, I bet you if you ask Brandon Lau, he would be the first guy that you'd want to face at that in that situation. It's just like, he's not a major league pitcher. Like, maybe bring in Martin in that situation. Like, why not? Like, you have nothing to lose, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand it, Matt, and thank you for the call. So two parts to that, right? So one is the Alex Cora hypothetical. You know, they just made a long-term financial investment in Alex Cora. I think so, things would have to be far worse than that for them to even really consider getting rid of him. You know, and I we've had plenty of conversations about Alex Cora on this show. There are plenty of you that don't like him. I get it. I, had the Red Sox not given him a lot of money, somebody else would have. Do with that what you will. I am of the opinion that what this team, you know, this team's record is less about Alex Cora and more about the team that it is. And you know, the thing about a team being 8 or 9 back is, all right, so are we sitting here in May and they went out and paid Max Fried and a frontline starter, and they went out, they reshaped this bullpen, and they pulled in 3 free agents, they pulled in 3 projects to bolster what they've got here. You know, did they invest, you know, did they offer Tyler O'Neill the qualifying offer? Did he accept it? Did they go and get a right-handed bat of superstar quality? Did they get another star? You know, these are all questions that are questions not so much for your hypothetical in May, but if they went through this offseason and they did all of that, or some semblance of all of that, we would walk into Fort Myers in February, and there'd be an inordinate amount of hype around this team. We'd be over the darn moon about it. I had to hold myself there. We really would, though, because, you know, of the young core that exists, and then they would have, you know, basically patched up all the holes on paper. And so that is the only scenario in which I could see Alex Cora being in a situation where in May we're talking about a team that is severely underachieving. But if we're in a situation where the rotation is the same as it is, plus Lucas Giolito minus Nick Pivetta, and Richard Fitz and Quinn Priester are 6 and 7, if we're in a situation where it's essentially the same 1 through 9, and they've plug and played Tyler O'Neill with a comparable right-handed bat, and maybe they've swung some kind of margin trade the kind of way that they did with Vaughn Grissom. I don't mean the guy they sent away for Vaughn Grissom. I mean the guy that came back. If we're in the same situation where basically it's the exact same names in the bullpen without, you know, significant progress shown, yeah, I think we could entertain that conversation. But I don't know. It's a hard hypothetical, and I think based on the money and the situation that they're in with Alex Cora, it would take something pretty significant and significant in the wrong direction to even begin the conversation about him not being a part of this group.
To compare Alex Cora to John Farrell is about as disrespectful as it gets to Alex Cora. I mean, I've played this game with Joe a bunch of times on this show when people call in to bitch about Alex Cora. And the fact of the matter is he's a top 2 manager in the entire league. We determined that Bruce Bochy was the only guy that we would rather have over Alex Cora. And like you said, I don't think this team's struggles are necessarily like thanks to Cora. I think they've overperformed thanks to Cora because he gets them going. But ultimately, talent wins out at the end of the day, and the Red Sox just don't have enough talent to compete with some of these teams right now.
Well, particularly in this league, in this division, and all of that. The second part of the question there was about velocity in the bullpen, and I think he asked a question kind of to the effect of like, when's the last time the Red Sox had a guy throwing 99 coming out of the bullpen? And this is he has hit on something that I think is crazy interesting, and incredibly important. And I will just say this about this bullpen. I'm a little surprised, and I got a text line person dunking on me, which is kind of fun. About I told you at the beginning of the season the Red Sox would be a 500 team or worse, but I disagreed. I did disagree. Congratulations on the dunk. You win. But I say that because I just thought that they would pitch better. I thought that the bullpen would stabilize at some point because I think there are a lot of really good things when you go under the hood about there are a lot of really good things happening in the pitching department. I think you need to look no further than what's happened with the starting pitching, especially stabilizing down the stretch. You know, the Red Sox are going to finish with a top 10 to 12 starting pitching ERA. Think about the conversation in the offseason about starting pitching. Think about the guys that they didn't go get. Think about the guy that they traded away, and they're still going to finish in the upper echelon of the league in terms of starting pitching ERA. Seriously. To me, there's really not a lot of reasons why it shouldn't translate to the bullpen. You know, you look around at the best starting pitchers in baseball and the best rotations in baseball. You look at what the Mariners are doing slash have done. Well, they've translated that to their bullpen. They've taken guys that are projects. They've made them big time stuff relievers, you know, and they've gotten the best out of them. I think the Red Sox are on track to doing it, but it didn't happen this year. And the guys in the organization that Craig Breslow had to work with when he came in, don't throw 98, 99. They're 94, 95. The average major league fastball is 94 miles an hour. You're talking about a bullpen that's basically sitting average. The Red Sox are bottom five in bullpen velocity. They're 25th in bullpen velocity. And it's a really hard way to live. And the caller makes the exact point that is proven true over and over and over again, that when you have velocity in your bullpen, even if you throw a little bit in terms of fewer strikes, you get away with more. And that is not the way this bullpen was built in 2024. And, you know, and we'll dive into it. We've got time over the course of the next hour. I want to get to the rest of the calls, the 617-779-7937. The truth about it is the Red Sox, you know, if their bullpen is going to look the way that we want it to look in 2025, I think a lot of the names are going to be different, or there's going to be a big jump in velocity in the offseason among guys that they have. But, you know, if you want a dominant bullpen, you know, if you want to look, you look at what the Dodgers have done, right? You know, okay, so they've got Blake Treinen, who they paid big money to. They have Michael Kopech, big velocity, who they paid big prospect capital to give up. But they took Alex Vesia in a teeny tiny little trade with the Marlins. They got Daniel Hudson on a minor league contract. They got Anthony Banda on a cash considerations deal, I think. They got Ryan Brazier in a story that I don't need to tell a single person listening how it happened. You know, they took these guys that had good stuff under very deep within them and got the best out of them. Hard throwers that they were able to dial in command. Guys that had small, you know, breaking balls that could get better and did, and created, you know, guys with elite qualities and turned elite qualities into elite pitching. And I think the Red Sox will do that over time, but they haven't. They haven't done it. And so when you ask, you know, when's the last time they had a guy who threw 97, 98, 99 that wasn't named Luis Guerrero or Kenley Jansen that one time in Atlanta last year? That's it. I think the answer needs to come, and it's about bringing in guys that I think when they sign them in the offseason, you know, the Red Sox should and will go out and get a couple of big name guys, and they've already signed Liam Hendricks, and maybe they get Tanner Scott, or maybe they get Aroldis Chapman, one of the higher end free agency relievers, and that'll be great. But they will, as we have learned in painful slow motion in 2024, as we have learned, you don't. Just because you have Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin at the back end of your bullpen, and they've struggled in the second half, to be fair, but just because you have Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin at the back end of your bullpen does not mean your bullpen's going to be good. You can go out and get the two big-name guys and the guy that you trust to get those final three outs that are different than all the other outs, and that's awesome. But that does not account for relievers 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And when you look at the great teams around baseball, you look at the Dodgers, you look at the Cleveland Guardians, you look at the Houston Astros, you look at the way that teams like that have pitched the baseball, the way the Yankees have in the second half, the way the Orioles did early in the year. Guys 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 are the guys that are making those bullpens great, and they're the guys that you've never heard of, and they're the guys that you come to love. And great Red Sox teams in the past have had this. We know this from 2018. We know this from 2013. We know this from 2007. You can go on and on and on about what those guys did, but that's the modern game. And until the Red Sox are doing that with consistency, you're in a very, very difficult situation. All right, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937. Let's go to Florida. Alan in Florida. Alan, welcome to Red Sox Review.
Thank you. You know, there's a few things. You brought up the Dodgers. You look at the trading deadline. Yeah, they gave up a couple of good prospects. Not their top prospects, by the way. Not their top. And they got Kopech, who, you know, throws 100 miles an hour. What did the Red Sox do? They got junk, junk, and more junk. Free junk. you know, to go along with the other junk that they have. So that's number one. Number two, you know, before you mentioned something about another star. You're telling me who the only star you, if you think Rafael Devers is a star, then we, you know, I disagree there.
Why?
I think right now. Why?
Yeah.
Well, what is he doing right now? Oh, he's hurt. If he's hurt, don't play him. I am sick of this team with the prospects and everything else. They have junk. This is the Boston Red Sox. They don't go out and get anybody. And the same things, you know, you can't argue this point to me. This might be the worst American League in years. If you think Toronto and Tampa Bay are going to be this bad next year, you're mistaken. Because this is so bad. I mean, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. Don't have a closer. The league is so weak right now. Houston, you know, the Cleveland, good teams, but not great teams.
Yeah.
And they're going to go out and get players. But the Boston Red Sox, we're going to have prospects, and we're going to get more junk just to go along with the other junk. So how much junk can you have in one team?
Yeah. No, and Alan, I get it. I look, I'm with you on the American League. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you are not wrong about where these teams are at. I'll push back on the Devers thing. I get it. I understand the frustration. You know, I also think you're watching a guy, and first of all, he's having a good year, but you're watching a guy that is a
good year, but not when it counted. You know, I mean, he just, they gave up Mookie Betts and they signed Rafael Devers because they were forced into it. Everything they do is they're forced into it because the public was so furious about it. I've said it before, I don't want to be repetitive. They lost 10 years in the organization when they traded Mookie Betts. 10 years.
Yeah.
I watched them tonight. What a player. But we got Alex Verdugo. Oh, boy. The Yankees are thrilled with him right now, aren't they?
Oh, Alan, and thank you for the call. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong, right? The sentiment, like you're absolutely allowed to feel that way, and it's hard not to feel that way. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. I'm just not going to do that. But you got to pick up the pieces and move on. And I like, that's horrible advice, but it's true. And I just, you know, as I look forward here, try to look forward, I see a Rafi Devers. And again, the hurt thing, I totally get, but like, he's their best player. And they're trying to keep him, you know, so he's got to be in the lineup every day if he's physically capable of it. And he's trying, and I don't think he's producing the way that he can produce because of the injury, but I also push back on the idea that they should shut him down because I think he's better than any other option in that situation. And I'm not saying it's a great option. I'm not saying we're in like some peachy world here, but that's just the truth about it, that he's got to be in there. If only to what he represents. I mean, you watch the Yankee series over the weekend. Shoot, I mean, you know exactly what he represents. You know, but I do think that, you know, when you sit there and you watch, you know, when you watch the good teams in baseball, and you talk about an American League that is not very good, and I agree with you. I think this is the most wide open the American League has been in a long time. Because you can't sit here and say that the Houston Astros are the class of it necessarily. Although if you had to, you know, tie me down and say who's going to win the AL, I'd say the Houston Astros. But, you know, that's an 81-69 baseball team. The losses were in the first half of the season, but so be it. You know, the Yankees are a two-person team right now. But you look at what is happening with Judge and Soto, and those are obviously two of the great players that we have in our game. But Soto is having a career year right now because of Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is having another great year because he's Aaron Judge, and he did this last year, I know. But he's having the year that he's having from an on-base and an average perspective, not just the home runs, because of Juan Soto. Rafi Devers was Rafi Devers the way that he was earlier in his career as he was coming up, in part, not because, it's not only because of this, but because he had J.D. Martinez around him, and Xander, and Mookie, and all of this. And I don't mean this to be some kind of, you know, longing for yesteryear. I just mean, you know, he needs protection in some legitimate way, and that's something he has not had in 2024. All right, I got to hit a break here. We'll get to the rest of your calls and texts. 617-779-7937 text line at 37937. We got to hear from the manager, Alex Cora. We'll get to all of it as we roll along. Zach's got your trending on the other side. It's Red Sox Review Live on WEEI.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox lost to the Rays, 8-3, the final from the Trop. Sox now fall to one game below 500 for the first time since June 11th, and now sit five games behind Minnesota for the final wild card spot with just 11 games to play. Game two of that three-game set from Tropicana Field goes down tomorrow. Tanner Houck expected to take the mound opposite Ryan Pepiot. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 5:50 with Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have the call of the game on the Shazen Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. First pitch set for 6:50. Shaz, perfecting the art of fresh. Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon ahead of their Thursday night matchup against the Jets. David Andrews was listed as a limited participant along with Jabril Peppers, Mike Onwenu, Marcus Jones, and Dietrich Wise, while offensive linemen City So and Viridian Lowe did not participate. In other NFL news, the Dolphins placed quarterback Tua Tagovailoa on the injured reserve list after he suffered a concussion during their Week 2 Thursday night matchup against the Bills. Tagovailoa will have to miss at least four games after being placed on injured reserve. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review coming up after this.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We were feeling good at that point. I'm feeling all right. Not by the end. 8-3 loss tonight against Tampa Bay Rays for the Red Sox. That highlight came to you from the Nissan post-game show. You deserve a car that thrills you. Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself and shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. This is Red Sox Review. Cooper Boardman with you. Zach Coe inside the glass. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. I see some texts. You want to have a Nick York conversation? Let me do that in 1 second. But let's hit the phone line first. 617-779-7937. And go to New Hampshire. AJ, welcome back to Red Sox Review.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right, AJ. How you doing?
Not too bad. You know, I feel like I'm beating the same drum or, you know, on the same treadmill when I'm watching these games since the All-Star break. I think it's a football metaphor, but that one old coach for the Cardinals, when he, like, went on that rant in front of the media, like, we were who we thought they were or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, we know what they are right now, and, like, I'm just beating the same drum that ownership has not invested in this team enough. You know, I feel like they're more interested in their portfolio and their purchases and don't have the same passion for the Red Sox. They're operating like a small market team, and you got rid of the guy that you brought in from the small market team in Bloom, and you brought in a guy like Breslow and brought back Thiel in whatever capacity. But in my mind, the Cubs are, I went to school at Loyola Chicago. So
let's go Ramblers.
A little bit about, yes. But like, I know about Chicago being like a big market team in its own right. And you bring in a guy in Breslow that was a part of that, and they were willing to spend. You know, you got the green light. So I think that maybe he was even operating on parameters that he's going to have. And, you know, I feel like that he was at a cap, and it was what it was. This version of the Sox is directly on the management's vision on how much money they want to spend, and let's hope that it turns around next year with the building blocks we got. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what, Coop? You weren't here for a few days when I called in or whatever like that, but you gave me all the song and dance about when I was talking about good old Dickie Fitz coming up and getting a start and skipping a start by Houck or Crawford. And you laughed at me, but old Fitz came up and he did what he had to do, and he looked good, looked major league ready.
I don't remember laughing at you, but you know what, AJ, if I laughed at you, I have to say I'm sorry. I have to say right here, right now, I'm very sorry if I did that.
I still think the same thing about Christian Campbell when they did, you know, if a young guy is tearing through and he looks ready, more often than not, he's probably ready. And what better options did you have? I don't think that they have any better options. They should have brought Campbell up and gave him a look, gave him a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he's been hurt. He's been hurt for about a week and a half now.
Yeah, now. I suppose so. But what do you think? Do you think that Giolito coming back fully healthy next year, and do you think that they only need to be pursuing like one frontline starter, and the rest of these guys are going to continue to progress? A lot of people say they need a lot of pitching, but I think that maybe one top of the line starter,
yeah,
like you said, Fried, and maybe like reorganizing the rotation with Giolito back, I think we'd be in better shape. I lean more towards right-handed bat and a frontline starter than multiple starters. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with you, AJ, and thanks for the call and your thoughts as always. Look, I'm a Richard Fitz guy. I'm a Quinn Priester guy. You know, if you want to, you know, stand in that corner, I feel like, you know, you're in a situation right now where you're guaranteed Bayo, who I think will take a jump, Houck, who hopefully is a semblance of what he was this year. Crawford's a five. And then you're going to have Fitz and Priester as 6-7, right? And that's what that's going to look like. You just need a one. Like, you need a guy that you feel like, and again, like the whole conversation about money and all this stuff, like I don't have an answer. You don't have an answer. None of us have an answer. But if money is less of an object, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, it has to be a starter. But I do think you just need one, like, I think, to start. And if you're, you know, and then you can trade it at the deadline if you'd like to. But you need one big time starter. And I just don't think there's any question about it. I don't see it any other way. But I don't think they need four, right? Like, I agree with you in that way. And, you know, does Fitz maybe begin in the bullpen? I could have that conversation. You look at some of the best starters in baseball, or best, you know, relievers in baseball, like what the Guardians have done. You know, when you look up and down in their bullpen, you look at Hunter Gaddis and Eli Morgan, these guys that were and are converted starters, have a future as starters, but could be your 2-3 inning guy a la Josh Winkowski. I think there's value in that. But, you know, do they want to mess with the starters' development, all of that? You know, there are pitching minds in this organization much, much greater than I that can answer that. But I think the answer is one starter. I really do. And especially if we're, I'm assuming they're not going to be the New York Mets in free agency, right? Like, if you're the New York Mets in free agency, all right, like, go pay Pete Alonso and then go pay all these other people. Like, but I'm just assuming that's not going to be the case. You know, it's a top 11 payroll in baseball. I think it's going to stay in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, I am mostly with you. I think they need two starters because I'm not willing to just pencil in Giolito as, like, a guy that's going to bounce back perfectly. So I think maybe, you mentioned Max Fried, Corbin Burns, those are the two big name free agents. So I think maybe one of those two guys plus a trade like Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. I know he's kind of getting lit up tonight.
Plus Brian a trade. Liu.
Yeah.
So you're trading an outfielder?
Yeah, most likely.
And you're trading who?
Jarren Duran.
You're trading Jarren Duran.
Yeah, I think so. I know I flipped on this because I know ahead of the deadline we were talking and I was saying, Willier Abreu, get him out of here. And I've kind of grown on Willier. Like, I think he's more sustainable of a player than Duran is. Speed doesn't necessarily always age well. Obviously, we had the incident with the suspension. Like, I'm not saying that that's what pushed me over the edge of being like, we got to get Jarren Duran out of here. But I think when you look at things like Abreu kind of fits what you're trying to build a little bit better, and then you leave that center field spot open for Raffaello, who's here for 8 years. I don't think they're going to trade him after this year, especially after signing him. And then Roman Anthony eventually slots into left.
I don't think it's unreasonable. I think Jarren right now, it is interesting. I would be curious if you walked around baseball and asked every general manager who commands more value, Jarren Duran or Willier Abreu. Right now, I know Jarren is having a superstar season, and I think probably, in terms of the iron being hot, it's probably Jarren. But, you know, Willier Abreu probably, I do think there's a little bit of a longevity in terms of the quality of his game, but both are good defenders, both are good offensive players. Abreu also doesn't hit left-handers, and that's probably as I talk this out, it's probably Duran. But then you're taking your leadoff hitter out of this lineup.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's going to come down to what you get the best value for out of. I can't see them trading Roman Anthony, but I suppose if they get absolutely blown away with an offer, like with a Tarik Skubal and Anthony's the only guy you're giving up, you at least have to consider it. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to who teams value more between Duran and Abreu and what's going to get the best pitcher back.
Here's my thing. Like, I don't think Jarren Duran gets you Logan Gilbert. I know it doesn't. It doesn't get you George Kirby. Does it get you Brian Wu? Maybe. Probably gets you Emerson Hancock, their sixth best starter who's in AAA. But, you know, you look around, like, especially in the offseason where they don't need to trade him. Oh, man. I just, the price of a good starting pitcher is so high. But the Mariners are in a position where they probably need to trade one of those guys to get offense. Would they do it for Jarren Duran and eat something on their end? Maybe. I don't know. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo. Mike, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Yeah, you know, I forgot what I wanted to talk about, so I made something up. But I know you love Raphael. Well, I know you love Devers, but check. I'm not going to go through. Check his last 2 months. I could do better at 75. Okay, that's one thing. Now, they average around 30,000, 31,000 a game, I think. So I checked the attendance at Fenway. So why did they're making money hand over? Apparently he doesn't want to spend it. So he's not going to sell the team, and they're not going to fire Cora. So, I mean, I don't know. Some of these people, I think that they're out of their mind. Yeah. Oh, you think next year if they get off to a bat, they're going to fire him? He just gave the guy a contract. So they're in I don't know. And all these players that are supposed to be good, we'll see. They love Cassis. I don't like Pat. Rafaela has no idea where the strike zone is. None whatsoever. He'd swing at a ball up in the press box somewhere. You know, so anyway. I don't have any more to say, Coop. That's it for me, Mike.
I get it.
I'm done. Vinny, go Bruins!
Oh, it's a little early to say go Bruins. It's never good when on September 17th, Mike is saying go Bruins. It's never good.
The Bruins don't even have their starting goalie signed.
Oh, my God. News coming. Hey, Mike, thank you for the call. Look, I do think this offseason will be telling. And I'm not going to sit here on my, you know, stand here on my soapbox and pretend like I know how much money or what the Red Sox are going to do and how much they're going to spend. I have no idea. You have no idea. We all have our suspicions, whatever they may be. I just can't imagine they're not going to walk into spring training at the beginning of next year with someone, and this is a silly thing to say, but with someone really good that is not currently on the roster. And maybe, again, as I said earlier, maybe I'm the idiot. And you know what? The guy in the text line, whoever that was, maybe I am. But I am going to sit here and say that I think that there will be a frontline starter. I think that there will be a good bat. But I don't know. And you know what? We're going to do shows in February, and I can be the idiot. We can do it together. I'm fine with it. But, you know, you walk around this roster, and you look at, you know, where you're at right now. You have just a bevy of players in this outfield. You have Duran. You have, you know, let's assume O'Neill's not going to be here. Let's assume that they extend him a qualifying offer and he and Scott Boras, you know, wipe their hands from it and say, no, we want 4 years. And the Red Sox are not going to do that. Well, then you're talking about an outfield right now of Abreu, Duran, Ref Snyder, and Roman Anthony, question mark. Masataki Yoshida is not an outfielder. Do they try to move on from that? You know, do you eat that? I mean, the idea that they're not going to spend, you know, an enormous amount of money implies that, you know, like the idea that they haven't spent that much money and the amount of money that Masataki Yoshida has eaten up, not being able to play a position and not being a consistent offensive player, is infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. And maybe Teoscar Hernandez is on this team in addition to Tyler O'Neill. I guess they're kind of the same void being filled there. But it's just really, really frustrating when you think about that. And this was a team built to not have Yoshida be what he's been, which is just unbelievably inconsistent. These good moments and everything. But I just don't understand where he fits, honestly. But I don't understand what value he gets you. So I don't know what you do with that problem. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think he like brings you a whole lot of value, but I also think the talk that this contract is some like albatross that the Red Sox can't deal
with. You're so right about this.
It's out of control. I mean, what, with the posting fee, it cost them $105 million. This is the Boston Red Sox we're talking about. Like $105 million to a guy that's a full-time DH should not hamstring you for the next 3 years. Like, he's a guy that, like, obviously, like, I don't think he's unplayable in the outfield. Obviously they disagree, but this is a guy that he's inconsistent with his bat. It's $105 million. You can hide him. You can hide that money somewhere else, and you can go out there and you can spend above the luxury tax. And like the last caller said, you're still printing money because you're the Boston Red Sox.
He gets $18 million a year. He makes less than Kyle Schwarber. All right. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Seattle. We are hitting America tonight. Mark in Seattle. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Hey, what's up, Cooper, man? Yeah, originally from Boston. But anyways, I was curious what your thoughts would be if the Sox were to trade for or to inquire about Reed Detmers on the Angels. I know he's having a down season. I know he was hurt, but when he started the season, if he, for the first month and maybe one start into May, his ERA was still pretty good, well under four, but now it's, he had a couple good starts when he got back, and I know last night he might have got blown up by maybe the Tigers, but wasn't sure what you thought about that as a possible left-handed option. And, yeah, and what it might cost.
Yeah, Mark, thank you for the call. You know, so I love Reed Detmers. I saw Reed Detmers pitch in the Cape League in 2018 for the Brewster Whitecaps. He was a really, really good arm. This dude has thrown, you know, was a teammate of Chris Murphy's in the Red Sox organization coming up. Good left-hander through his no-hitter. Was that last year or 2 years ago? Now I can't even, like, it's all blurry, but he threw a no-hitter.
I think it was last year.
You know, and he had a good year last year, and his ERA in 2024 is 6.05. So I have two answers to this. One is, sure, why not, right? Like, this is the kind of guy that has all the stuff in the world. He's in an organization that is not in a good place pitching-wise. They are not developing quality starting arms. They are not keeping guys healthy. You know, they are, in many ways, the antithesis, when we're talking about the Angels, of what the Red Sox are attempting to be. And so it is a very reasonable thought process there from the caller and from anybody that looks at a guy like this. It is a very reasonable thought process to say, Reed Detmers in that organization, I think he'd be better in ours. And I don't think you're wrong. Like, I think that could absolutely be true. I think if the Red Sox wanted him, you know, they could go get him for prospect capital. That is not overwhelming. You know, and we've already seen that the Red Sox and Angels under their current iterations in terms of brass are willing to make deals because of Luis Garcia. And you know, the Red Sox sent three triple-A level prospects to the Angels, and Nico Cavadas is up with the big league club right now. So there's a connection there. So my answer part one is, sure, that guy kind of makes sense. But my second part is, what this team actually needs is not another project. And, you know, we're talking about the Red Sox, who are in a situation where they're going to walk into next year, barring some big trades. I'm just giving you the information that we've got right now, where you're going to have Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, Brian Baio, Richard Fitz, and Quinn Priester. You're talking about Houck. We know he's in there. We know who he is. We think we know who he is. We know he's had one very good year. You know that Crawford is going to give you an ERA in the fours, goodness willing, and that maybe he can curb the home run problem. He has been, when you look at the underlying numbers, he's been a victim of some bad luck, not a lot. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not talking down these home runs, but that's somewhat true. Baio, I think, is going to be much better next year because of how good he's been in the second half of the season. There's a collection of Red Sox fans that roll their eyes when I say that. I get it. Richard Fitz is young. He is getting better. He has made enormous strides. And Quinn Priester is a project. And so you're talking about a lot of different guys that are projects. And project has this negative label attached to it. I don't mean it that way. Good organizations have projects. They get better. You know, we've got the Yankee game on right now. And it's Yankees and Mariners. And Brian Wu and Luis Gil are on the mound. Those are two projects. Two guys that have battled through injury. Two guys that have turned themselves into some of the best starters in baseball. In a period that's a project. But my point is here, just to answer the idea of a Reed Detmers, is he in a vacuum makes some sense. I get it. If the Red Sox were looking for volume of starting pitching in this offseason, it's the kind of guy that would make a lot of sense. But the reality is that they are in need of a known commodity. They are in need of Corbin Burnes at the front of their rotation. And I don't see it any other way. I don't. And by the way, I didn't even mention Lucas Giolito. Talk about a project right now. Like, I have trouble seeing it any other way. But the thought is reasonable. And that was the idea of the Quinn Priester trade. And I got like 30 seconds here before we got to hit a break. But just touch on this very quickly because I saw it on the text line. You know, why trade Nick York, you know, before ever giving him a chance at second base when the Red Sox have been horrific at second base this year offensively? And the answer is Nick York was a guy that was not hitting well at AA at all. They promoted him to AAA with trade deadline impending. He had an outstanding month at AAA, perhaps the best month of his entire minor league career. And they flipped him for a guy that they felt like they could take and in an organization that has been a pitching wasteland with the Pittsburgh Pirates and take him and put him into the Red Sox pitching development program and turn him into a starter that is much better than the guy that you watched when you were when he was in Pittsburgh. That was the thought process there. And the early returns on what Quinn Priester is doing are outstanding. The other part of this, too, is people wanted Nick York up. Well, they've got, we want to talk about, honestly, what 2024 is. It's not about now. It's about the future. Sorry, I don't like it. It just is what it is. They have so much depth at second base. It's unbelievable between Vaughn Grissom and Manuel Valdez and Christian Campbell. And not that Marcelo Meyer is ever going to play there, but you're talking about middle infielders, not to mention a guy that they believe in and should in Nick Sogard. So that's the thought process there. All right, quick break, come back, finish off the text line, hear from Alex Cora, and wrap it up, get you set for tomorrow. It's Red Sox Review Live on WEEI. Red Sox Review, Tuesday night, wrap-up time. Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass, 617-779-7937. A little post. He's at Fenway tomorrow night. You know about this?
I do know about that. Might be boots on ground for it. So
big if true.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
We gotta check the country stuff. I like it from afar, but I don't know about right now.
Yeah, I'll be giving it a listen on my drive home to see if I want to spend the money to go.
All right. Well, if you go, I'll be here tomorrow. You call in. We'll get you to the front of the line, and you'll give us the live review.
Perfect.
Guys, I'm here. All right. Hey, it's Red Sox Review. Red Sox lose 8-3. Awful night. It's the night where, I don't know, if the reality that was cold and sobering is not yet seeped into your bones, it probably has by now. Let's hear from the manager, Alex Cora. It's one of those things with him where he knows where they are and he knows what this is. And it's another night where the reality comes closer and closer. And I guess with all of that in mind, after the loss tonight, here's a manager, Alex Cora.
Tough one all around. I think, we didn't make pitches early on. 0-2 homer, 0-2 double, 0-2 homer, 2-2 homer. So we didn't finish at bats and we paid the price.
What's the reason you guys went out in the fifth inning to check on Pivetta?
He was cramping. He had like a cramp on the trap area, and I want to make sure he was okay. Gave him two hitters, and then after that, for me, it doesn't make sense. You have to take care of players. That's my job, too. So we went to Horn against lefty. It just didn't work out.
Got the early damage there with the two-run homer by Tristan, but after that, not much traffic on the bases.
We hit the ball hard today. He's not sure, but we hit the ball hard today. I think the approach was good. We got some swing and misses there, but I think overall, we actually executed what we wanted to do.
It's just under 500 for the first time in over 3 months. How much does that just kind of hurt?
It sucks. We got three ways: be average, below average, or above average, right? And right now we're below average, right? And like I've been saying all along, it's not lack of effort, right? It's not happening for us right now. Today, like I said, 0-2, we got burnt at like damage on 0-2 pitches with two strikes. We didn't execute. It was just a bad one tonight.
Where are you at with Tanner for tomorrow?
He's gonna start tomorrow.
About any concern that this is?
No. He came out and he's like, I'm fine. I feel great. I just felt it. And I'm like, well, put yourself in my shoes and, you make the decision. I got to take care of you. So he'll be fine. He should make his next start.
The manager, Alex Cora, again, after the loss against the Rays tonight. Cooper Boardman with you. Zach Coe inside the glass. 617-779-7937. Last little bit tonight on Red Sox Reviews, we wrap it up. And, I just offer this because listening to Alex there about hitting the ball hard, there's just one stat that has been sticking in my craw that it doesn't tell the whole story, but this is, this is an analytic level stat that will make some people's eyes glaze over, but it's the last 2 minutes of the show, and so you might as well just find out what it is. And that is The Red Sox, all year long, you know, really from May on, have been the league leaders, the best team in Major League Baseball on batting average in balls in play. BABIP, the kind of stat that makes the eyes glaze. You're doing it right now. They've been the league leaders. And this number has been astronomically higher than everybody else in baseball all year long. And there's a school of thought that when you couple it with, for example, a stat like average exit velocity, just how hard you're hitting the ball. And the Red Sox are high on the list, but they're not top five in the league. You know, in my head, they're somewhere between 10 and 15 on any given day. They're not low. They don't hit the ball soft all the time, although they have been of late in many ways. But, you know, you kind of look at it. But there is a school of thought that basically says that if your batting average on balls in play is very high, higher than everybody else, you have been given good luck. Like, you have good luck. And that is, I'm oversimplifying something that is more complicated. It does not tell the whole story. The Phillies are second in batting average in balls in play. And they're having, I don't think anybody would say that they're a bad offensive club. The Yankees are among the lowest of, you know, teams in batting average in balls in play. I wouldn't say anybody that says that they're a bad offensive club necessarily. But the Red Sox have come back to earth in a big way, in a number that was well above 320, 333, I think it was like 335 for a lot of the year. And the league implies that you should be around 300. It has dropped precipitously over the last few weeks. And I don't know. I look at some of these individuals and I say, Tristan Casas is way better than this. Rafi Devers is way better than this. And if those guys are not going to hit, I just, you're kind of SOL, honestly. Like, I don't know what you do about that. But there is a part of me that says, well, if they really are coming back to earth, if they really are getting the luck that they deserve right here, where does that leave you? What do you do about that? How do you look at this offense? I mean, I know we talk so much about starting pitching, but how do you really honestly evaluate these nine? Is Connor Wong offensively who we think he is? You know, is Seydon Rafaela who he has been? Again, I'm not saying these are the end-all, be-all stats that they tell an entire story. It's just a way of looking at it. Anyway, that's my very vague thing to say in the final minute of the show. We can talk about it more tomorrow. Back with you on the Mass Mutual pregame show, 5:50 on the pre, 6:50 on your ball game. Back with you postgame Red Sox review. Zach's going to catch us live from Post Malone. That'll be awesome. But that is it for us tonight. Big thanks to Zach Coe. I'm Cooper Boardman. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's been Red Sox review right here on WEEI.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.